You think you've tried 5 or 6 different meeting formats and the issue is you just haven't found the right meeting format? Like, let's be real. Like, I've tried everything. It just hasn't worked. At what point do you look at that and say, well, maybe it's not an issue with the meeting format and has more to do with my leadership and perhaps how we're going about meetings altogether? I'm Michael Mogul, founder and CEO of Crisp, the nation's number one law firm growth company. I've built my business through practice, not theory. Crisp started with just $500 to my name and has grown to over 8 figures in revenue over the last few years, earning a spot on the Inc. 500 list of the fastest growing private companies in America. Our approach has been to take everything we've learned about generating massive growth within our own organization and help the country's most ambitious and committed law firm owners do the same for theirs. In each episode of this podcast, I sit down with innovative market leaders from the legal industry and beyond to learn from those who thrive in the face of adversity, challenge the status quo, and define what it means to be a true game changer.
This is Jessica, Head of Coaching Strategy at Crisp, and today we're flipping the script for another special edition episode to get Michael's take on why clarity is the ultimate kindness, how to structure and stick to an action-oriented agenda, and how to make every single meeting more effective immediately.
Take all of your hour meetings and make them 30 minutes. Because if you give an hour, it'll take an hour. And the best meetings are the ones where we need to get through everything as quickly as humanly possible to be as efficient as possible so we can get back to actually doing the work and executing on things we need to.
That's coming up on the Game Changing Attorney Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Game Changing Attorney Podcast. Jessica Mogul here. I'm excited. This is a special edition AMMA episode, right? Isn't every AMMA a special edition? So thank you for tuning in. This is going to be great. What do we do on this podcast or this specific type of format? You guys submit the questions and we answer said questions. So it's ask Michael Mogul anything, but you can ask Jessica too. We did an episode recently where they submitted questions for Jessica and I interviewed you. So happy to do that too. It's easier for me.
Maybe it'll just become Ask the Moguls Anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And then, you know, it can actually go a step further because of the, you know, the way we name the girls. So the AMMAs can continue into the future.
Yes.
Because both their names start with M too. So it works. A few different types of podcasts we do here. There's the AMMA, which we just talked about. We've got a traditional interview format. We bring in expert speakers, expert thought leaders, pick their brains, dissect all their insights, and provide it to you here on the podcast. And then we have our encore editions. We bring back some of our most popular episodes. All right. Now, I say this every single time, but it bears repeating. You might notice something unique about this podcast. And it's not just the incredible production that our team does and the fact that they come out every single week and we've got incredible guests. It's also the fact that we don't run ads, which for a podcast that is getting hundreds of thousands of downloads a month seems unusual. Now, we get offered to. People reach out every single week and you guys know who they are and they get a little bummed out when we say no, thank you. And they're like, wait, what? Why don't you allow us to sponsor your podcast? And we say, well, because we want to be able to control the formatting and we want to be able to say whatever we want. We want our guests to be able to say whatever they want. And that will continue to be the case so long as you guys also pay the fee. So it is free, but there is a fee. And you're like, wait, what are you talking about, Mike? All I'm asking for, ready for this? Is that if you enjoy the podcast, if you get any sort of value insight from it, that you leave us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts. I know you're listening right now. You specifically have not left a 5-star review yet. All you got to do is open up Apple Podcasts. It's easy. You're already there or on Spotify and just hit 5 stars and then tell us what you like about it. And those that tell us what they like about it in this month, we're going to send you something cool in the mail. You're going to like that. And then share it with a friend. It helps us reach more people and it helps us book greater guests on the podcast. We got an incredible lineup this season. But now, Jessica, I want to turn it over to you. What questions do we have on this episode of the Game Changing Attorney Podcast, the AMMA? What do we got? I'm excited.
All right. Quite passionate about this topic because I'm all about the efficiency of things. So first and foremost, I have tried implementing various meeting formats and structures in my law firm, but none seem to stick, and meetings still feel chaotic and unproductive. What advice do you have for finding the right meeting format that works for my team?
Oh, okay. So you've tried various types of meeting formats and structures and nothing seems to work and meetings are chaotic and unproductive. Well, we have the exclusive secret meeting format that you've never heard of that is going to transform your meetings and transform your life. I'm just kidding. Come on. What do you think this is? You think you've tried 5 or 6 different meeting formats and the issue is you just haven't found the right meeting format? Like, let's be real. Like, I've tried everything. It just hasn't worked. At what point do you look at that and say, well, maybe it's not an issue with the meeting format and has more to do with my leadership and perhaps how we're going about meetings altogether? I mean, first of all, how many meeting formats are there, right? I'm sure there's a version of this where everyone just brings, like, you know, crayons and fucking colors and shit, right? And then, like, there's that type of meeting format as opposed to, like, an actual structured meeting. I mean, who knows what? Maybe you'll sit around with, like, you know, little scented candles and, like, you're meditating. Maybe that's a meeting format. But look, all that nonsense aside, meetings are fairly simple, but they're not easy. So it's important that there is clarity of expectations of, number one, why are we even doing this meeting? Like, what are we doing? What are we setting out to achieve? Is this a meeting to brainstorm ideas or is this a meeting to make decisions? And also, who needs to be in the meeting? Because if you just invite everybody by default and then people find themselves in meetings all day, then you're just going to have people bullshitting all day and not a whole lot getting done. Because the only people that should be in meetings are those that contribute to said meetings and the said decisions. Not like, hey, I think you should be in this meeting just to hear what everyone's talking about, right? And then you have half the people in the meeting just there to observe. That's a very expensive meeting. You know, I think there's like some app out there for Google Calendar where you can add this like plugin where it'll tell you based on, you can put in everybody's salaries and based on the length of the meeting and the number of people in the meeting, it'll tell you how much that meeting costs. So if you have like six, seven, eight, you know, six figure individuals in a meeting for an hour, you're like, ooh, okay, well, if we're going to do this, we better get some results out of this, right? We better make some decisions. So number one, have an agenda up front. You're not figuring out the agenda in the meeting, okay? That agenda should always be clear up front so that people show up prepared. Because there's no worse meeting than someone showing up and saying, oh, I didn't know I needed to do that, or I'm not prepared. It's not productive. It's a waste of everybody's time. Okay? It's disrespectful. All right? I remember back in the day, years ago, I would make it clear that anytime I would have a meeting with anyone, we'd have a meeting with teams, department heads, even one-on-ones, that I would need this agenda at least 24 hours in advance, everything organized, everything prepared. If we're going to be talking about metrics and data, that those metrics came, you know, in advance so that I could review them. If we had to make decisions, that I had got full context in advance before I reviewed it. And if we did not have an agenda and if we did not have those resources at least 24 hours in advance, then the meeting didn't happen. So that's probably number one. Jessica, what else would you say? I know this is a topic you're passionate about.
I think it goes back to, as you were saying, having the right people in the room. So if there are people in the room that just simply don't need to be there, it's wasting time. But also the people who are in the room, are there clear roles and expectations for why they are there? Is someone there as a consultant? Is someone there to be the data person? Who is your note taker? All of those things, and having very clear expectations on that so that everyone else can be present in the meeting and focus on it. And going back again to just stick to a structure. You know, if you're like, I'm trying everything, it's every fad, every whatever, stick to something, just pick something and stick to it. But I think it's like even time and pacing and making sure that you're actually covering the things that need to be covered and you're not going on a tangent, because if you go on a tangent on your first bullet point, then you don't cover every other bullet point or the other 10 things you wanted to cover. So someone also needs to learn to take control of the meeting as well and to like objectively carry the meeting.
Yeah. Look, I'll give everybody listening to this podcast, because you've tuned in, I'm going to give you something for free as it relates to meetings. If you want to make all of your meetings more productive immediately, take all of your hour meetings and make them 30 minutes. Because if you give an hour, it'll take an hour. And the best meetings are the ones where we need to get through everything as quickly as humanly possible to be as efficient as possible so we can get back to actually doing the work.
Exactly.
And executing on things we need to. For me, meetings are decision meetings, right? Yes, no, we're moving forward. We're not moving forward with this. X, Y, Z. They are not meetings where we're saying, let's talk about this. What do you think? Right? And then by the way, on the note of who should be in a meeting, a great way to evaluate this is like, you know, let's say you're in a meeting with certain leaders or certain department heads, and you've been in meetings, you know, let's say you've done 3, 4, 5 meetings, and there's been people in that room that haven't said a word.
Yep.
Kick them out. What are they doing? What are they doing there? They're not contributing to the meeting. They're not presenting anything. So why are they there? And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. It's just saying, hey, free up their time. Let them focus on other things. Like, it's not about saying, well, if they don't attend the meeting, they're not going to feel included, and then their feelings could get hurt. Is that the culture of your organization? In our organization, it's completely the opposite. It's like, look, I don't need you in this meeting. They're like, great.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's not seen as a sign of disrespect. It's seen as like, I'm actually respecting your time.
Yeah, I got that time back.
What do they think we're talking about in a meeting? Like some Illuminati type stuff of saying like, oh, we're going to talk about you because you're not in the meeting? It's insanity.
Yes.
Yeah. So like meetings are like, let's figure out how we do it in the least amount of time, get through everything, boom, get back to work.
Exactly. Awesome. Number two, Still around meetings. So I struggle with leading effective meetings. Sometimes it feels like no one is engaged or listening. How can I improve my meeting leadership skills?
Oh, there we go. Now we're taking ownership.
We're looking inward.
Yeah, there we go. Now we're talking. So the fact that you even asked this question tells me you're on the right track, because every problem is a leadership problem. And if something's not working, something's not effective, look inward and saying, what can I be doing better? How do I improve, whether it's an issue of communication, whether it's an issue of clarity, structure, standards, et cetera. So if the meetings are, in this case, you're seeing people are, what, they're staring at the wall or the ceiling, right? They're daydreaming. Well, have we established clear standards and expectations for these meetings? So for an example, if everyone brings their laptops and every, you know, why? First and foremost, like one of the things we did was saying, okay, the only person who has a laptop is the note taker. Everybody else, laptops closed. Because we got our laptops open, the Slacks are popping off, emails are popping off, people get distracted. And again, we go into these meetings thinking, how do we do this in the least amount of time so it can be as effective and productive as possible? So that's number one. Number two, are you letting people like stare up into the sky? You know, if people are sitting in there daydreaming, maybe they don't understand the purpose of the meeting. Maybe they don't make a contribution. And then also, are you modeling the right example? So are you present in said meeting? Because again, this comes back to leadership. I've seen leaders that are sitting there, you know, in meetings, they're in the room, but they're somewhere else. They're responding to messages, responding to Slack. I'm guilty of this myself. I've done it too. Okay, we're not perfect. But if you want someone to model a certain type of behavior, you have to start with that first. Okay, you have to be the example. So you got to show up and you got to be ready. You got to be prepared. You got to be focused. You can't be on Slack or Teams or responding to emails, responding to texts or whatever. Okay, be present. And you can actually get this done in a lot less time. So making sure that you are modeling the right example. What else, Jessica, what would you add to this?
I would say also calling it out when you see it, because that's another thing. If it's like, oh, I see them or doing whatever, like, again, assuming you're setting the example of being good, calling it out and saying, hey, laptop's closed, whatever that might be, but also giving your team permission to call you out to set that standard as well. But yeah, be there, be present, go back to pen and paper. That's what we've really focused on here. And again, if the person's not engaged, or kind of like the last one, if they're not contributing, why are they in the meeting to start with?
You know, there's a whole kind of like stereotype culture around meetings. And you see this in large organizations where people think, oh, another meeting, right? This could have been an email or something like that, right? And they associate meetings with a lack of just productivity or a lack of just moving things forward. And it just seems like everyone's time is being wasted, which at most organizations, it's probably true, to be completely honest. Like the reason why people believe that is because usually they're invited to a meeting and they only show up so they don't get fired. So they're like, you know, I can check the box of saying, I attended said meeting, even though, what do we even talk about? We kind of bullshit it for 30 minutes, right? Everyone's talking about their weekend and like, you know, whatever sport, you know, what took place over the weekend. And then we talked about some items and, you know, the majority of them weren't even done. So like everyone said, okay, not done, or like, I'm still working on that or whatever. Like, okay, cool, we'll revisit that next week, or we'll revisit that 2 weeks from now. And it's just like the cycle repeats of just wasting everybody's time and nothing getting done. And then you find yourself looking back and saying, well, why are my meetings productive, or why is nothing getting done? Look at the mindset around these meetings.
Yeah, this happened recently in a meeting. I called it out. I was like, guys, this topic has been on here for 3 months. Take it off or do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah, people just kick the can because they show up and, you know, they're allowed to. I mean, every time we go into a meeting, there's always a list of here are the items we review from the previous week and the status of said items, because we put a due date, deadline, and the person who's accountable for that every single time. And then the action items that we set at the end of the current meeting, of saying, all right, what is it that needs to get done, by when, and by who? There's very clearly, we review all the action items at the end. People confirm that, you know, accountability of said action items. And then we always rate the meeting at the end of the meeting. And I think that's also very helpful, because you rate on a scale of 10, right? 10 being world's best meeting and 1 being just pure dog shit, okay? Like just literally just, I don't even know. No one's ever rated a meeting a 1, but I can only imagine what a 1 would be.
Yes.
So, and what's the purpose of that? Like, why do we rate meetings, Jess?
Because we need to know where we stand, and we also, it's feedback. Feedback is always a gift. And maybe the person running the meeting was like, that's the best thing ever. And then someone gives it a 7. Well, why was it a 7? How do I make it better? Because we always want to make everything better.
Yeah, I'll tell you why it was a 7. Because chances are, the person who led the meeting, you the leader, went on a diatribe about something. You feel great because you got your message out. But everyone's like, what did we just accomplish? We didn't get anything done.
Yep.
But the leader feels great. Maybe it's a 7. When we rate meetings 9s and 10s, it's when we went through everything in a succinct amount of time, knocked things out, made decisions. Boom, everybody loved it. We move forward. Great. It's just the nature of like how effective are our meetings and you as a leader modeling the right behavior that you want to see from other people first.
Yes. And going back to where you were talking about deadlines is it just always, it's standards, it's reinforcement. If you come in and there's 15 action items and none of them are done, you're endorsing that and you're saying it's okay to show up to this meeting and not have things done. So taking that seriously, taking the deadlines and the ownership very seriously.
Correct. It's like, why are we having this meeting? Yes. If we're showing up, no one did anything that they said they were going to do. Like, what is this nonsense? Yes. But if you change the culture around that and then people show up to meetings and everything got done by the due date, right? And it's also important that, you know, this is why we review the action items at the end of every meeting and the deadline and who's accountable for it to make sure that they understand that deadline. And if they believe, hey, maybe, you know, I need longer than a week or, you know, we need to move that, we can set that then and there. Right? It's not the kind of thing where we're just assigning everything to the next meeting.
Right.
Because not everything takes a week.
Correct.
So when you do it that way, well, now we're talking. Now things are, you know, effective and productive. But can you imagine going into every meeting, nothing got done? That's probably most meetings in America.
Yes.
That's frustrating to everyone. It's frustrating to you, the leader, and it's frustrating to everybody in the meeting too, because everyone's time is being wasted.
Exactly. Last one here to round us out. I often feel overwhelmed by the number of meetings on my schedule and struggle to prioritize which ones are essential. How can I determine which meetings are necessary and which ones can be streamlined or eliminated?
Well, the easiest way to determine what meetings are necessary and what meetings can be eliminated is just don't show up to any of your meetings and see if the business still exists after that. I mean, I'm kind of half joking, right? It's worth a shot. That being said, a lot of times you're in a reactive state at this point because you find yourself overwhelmed and you just feel like you're in meetings all day long. But the best way to do this is kind of like the best time to plant a tree. You know, it was yesterday, the second best time is today, you know, or 100 years ago. When you are setting a new meeting or recurring meeting on your calendar, it's important to really evaluate that through a lens of just, is this a meeting that is essential to have every single week at this time on this date? Because then you're filling that time on your calendar and you can't get that time back, okay? Now you're allocating another 30 minutes or another hour that could go to something else, but now has to go to this. So you have to look at it and say, is this going to be the highest and best use of my time every single day on this day for this amount of time? And if it's not, well, then maybe you need to trial it and say, look, we're not going to make every meeting recurring. We're going to start off by just, let's just do one meeting. And at the end of that meeting, we're going to evaluate what the meeting cadence needs to be. Because sometimes, you know, there's meetings we have that they're once a quarter. There's other meetings we have once a month. There's other meetings we have that are biweekly, and there's other meetings we have weekly. Okay? It just depends. But you want to be able to like ensure, especially things that are happening weekly or biweekly, that it is the least amount of meetings that are necessary to move things forward within the organization. And meetings typically really should be looked at, all right, if this meeting is important because decisions are being made in this meeting that cannot be made somewhere else. So if the decision can be made through Slack, or if the decision can be made through Teams, or the decision can be made through an email that doesn't require everyone to get together, then perhaps it doesn't need to be a meeting.
Correct.
Most meetings seem urgent, but they're not the important meetings, right? They're not the drivers of the vision of the firm, the strategy of the firm, the execution of the firm. They're just typically micromanagement style meetings where we're just following up on people to make sure that they got the task done, right? And are you, as the owner of the firm, the best person to conduct those meetings? Because maybe it makes sense to let go and allow some of your team leads or empowering somebody else within your organization to be able to conduct those meetings, and then that person reports to you.
Right.
So they can oversee, let's say, 5 or 6 different meetings in a week, and now you only got to meet with them once.
Exactly.
Okay, but it's also important to look at, okay, if you're going to be freed up from some of these meetings, what is that going to free you up to do? So how will you now spend your newfound time? Because if you look at it and say, hey, I'm caught up in meetings all day, but I really believe I need to be taking other referring attorneys to lunch or being able to build relationships within the community or, you know, brainstorm what our strategy or our marketing strategy should be. And if that would allow you to move the needle in your firm, then perhaps that's more important than sitting in all these different meetings. And again, nothing is forever. I mean, every single quarter, I'm reevaluating my calendar and making sure that the way that calendar is set up is the most effective for what I'm trying to achieve and where the business is going. We look at, where are we trying to go? What's the vision of the organization? Okay, years into the future. What needs to happen this year? What needs to happen every single quarter? And every single quarter, there's 3 months. What needs to happen each month? And is the calendar set up in a way, in terms of my time and more importantly, my focus, is it set up in a way that allows me to accomplish what needs to be accomplished each and every month, which requires you to accomplish things each and every day and every week, in order to achieve those monthly targets, those quarterly targets, and ultimately those annual targets in the organization? And if it's not, then you probably should reevaluate some of the meetings you're having because your time could be spent in a better way. In an alternate reality, perhaps you need to be having more meetings and you're not having any meetings at all and people don't have any sort of direction or clarity whatsoever. And they're just left to their own devices and you don't ever get people in a room together because everybody's working remote and everybody's dispersed all over the world and nobody ever gets together, so there's no alignment. The content team has no idea what the trial team is doing. The trial team has no idea what the operations team is doing. The operations team has no idea what the finance team is doing. Nobody knows what the hell is going on. Sometimes not even within their existing teams. They just know they got to like press this widget and turn this knob, right? They don't see how that ties into the bigger picture. And then you have a person who's just, you're not getting the highest performance out of them, and they don't give a shit. And you want to know why? Because they don't feel like they're part of a team. There's no vision. There's no alignment. There's nothing. So sometimes it's important to get everybody in a room together, a physical room, not a Zoom room, okay? Everyone's like, I'm like, you don't understand my organization. We do Zoom meetings all the time. Everybody loves it. I'm going to clue you in on a little secret. When you get everybody together in a Zoom room, at least 50% of those people are not paying attention to anything you were saying. They are somewhere else. And if you don't believe me, ask them a question and see how long it takes them to unmute themselves and respond. But hey, what do I know, right? Yeah, whatever. You know, maybe I'm old school. But I do believe that sometimes it's important to get everybody in a room together and align as a team.
Absolutely. And I think that's all we got today.
Don't forget to leave that 5-star review, everybody. All right. Have a great one. We'll be back.
You've been listening to the Game Changing Attorney Podcast with Michael Mogul. If you found this episode valuable, here are 3 free ways that we can help you grow your law firm. Number 1, download the first chapter of Michael's book absolutely free at gamechangingattorney.com. Number 2, you can shoot Michael a text at 404-531-7691 and ask him any question you'd like. You might just hear the answer on the next episode. And finally, number 3, if you can leave this podcast a 5-star review, it will help us gain access to more influential thought leaders and bring their lessons learned here to you. For more information on this episode, see the show notes in your podcast app or visit legalpodcast.com. We'll be right back.